The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Excellent. Did you ever eat at Bill Knapp's before they went out of business?
I did not. Should I have?
I mean, they
what did I miss?
I don't know. Dave is the local restaurant.
They had great cake on your birthday.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just sort of like a family restaurant, you know?
Yeah, like an upscale Bob Evans.
Yeah.
Bill Knight, Bob Evans.
What to say
about that? I used to get the names mixed up, actually.
That was Denny's.
Such a recommendation.
Wow.
Some people really like Bob Evans.
Actually, Bill Knapp's
Some people
better.
Really like Bill Knapp's. Oh. But,
actually, I have a question.
Anymore. Sure.
What is a Butterburger?
I think they just put
Culver's
butter.
Culver's make those.
You know.
That's my question.
In Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Butterburger.
Fry the burger in butter.
And the buns. Yeah. And everything. They're really good, but they're a lot.
Oh, I always put buns on my, or butter on my hamburger buns before I toast them.
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard, but I don't know. They advertise them like it's the best thing in the world, and I wanted to know.
Email Marty about.
Who?
Email Marty about them.
Marty.
Beth recommended I talk to you, R.E. Butterburgers. I think it's a great idea.
R.E. Butterburgers.
The Carver's ads come off as so wholesome, Midwesternly. They're standing in that field.
Right.
Of right?
Course. Right.
And they, exactly. You know, butter.
Those are the tones of Professor Stephen Manning from the Department of Rocket Quarter Zip. And, yeah, so you apparently have not been to Culver's then. I mean...
I've not been to Culver's, okay. And I never went to Bill Knapp's.
Okay, well, no. We don't need to do that around the whole table.
I've been to both.
She started it.
Yeah, sounds like we're doing it anyway. Sorry.
Right. Jeez. What have
cats
I done?
Out of the bag.
Yeah,
cats
you have
out of the
limited
bag.
Powers as a moderator.
Oh, there's no question. Board of limited jurisdiction.
That's
right. I tell
he's
you.
Going to get out the wand.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, exactly. Continuing around the table, I guess now I can actually see the full label. So we brought some donut-flavored popcorn is
yes.
What it is.
Yes.
Sitting in front of Professor Jeff Potts.
Moving away.
Now everyone's going to blame me for that.
No, I'm guilty.
It just tastes like caramel corn to me. Am I missing something?
There's a picture of a donut on the front, and that makes it
tastes different. Exactly like caramel corn.
I don't taste any
tastes
chocolate.
Like caramel corn to me.
Or no glaze.
Well, you get that initial flavor, and then it goes away.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems
a little
odd.
Yeah, there's a nanoseconds worth of chocolate.
It's
taste.
Limited edition, too, so the limit's up. So.
Jeff, how goes the writing?
Not bad. Still in Query of Wonderland, trying to get agents' attention and busily outlining the next one.
That's right. You're already on the third sequel, sequel?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, third one.
Third one. There you go.
I've been learning quantum field theory and quantum computing lately just for fun because it might be a topic in the book.
As one is wont to do,
yeah. As Isaac Asimov said, education is not something you can finish.
That was absolutely true. We had we're hiring a new physicist in our department, and someone came through this week, and they were actually talking quite a bit about how they would increase student learning retention in the world of quantum theory. So anyway,
I think you should put Butterburgers in your book.
Yeah.
In my experience, knowledge both exists and doesn't exist in my students' minds at the same time, which
is
very quantum.
Yes. Very, very quantum.
But what about Butterburgers?
Because it's contradictory, which is what makes it
quantum. Well, there are epistemological black holes that we have to deal with. That's a nice thing to call students. That's better than what I usually call them.
Jeff, I'm sure you could do a better job than I could of introducing our next special guest panelist.
Well, this is visiting Professor Becca from the University of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Perfect. Makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Nice to have you here, Becca.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I appreciate, and if my wife were here, she would as well. Your Goonies t-shirt, just putting it out there.
It was either that or the Washington Capitals, and after that abysmal performance last night, no.
I'm just letting you know right now, we would not have allowed you in the studio had you come in.
I was pulling for the Wings last night because they were playing the Penguins.
Yeah,
and boy,
of course.
That was...
My student texted me late last night, so I knew the game was over, but I died about 9:30. I couldn't make it through the third period. And he's like, between Ovechkin and Crosby, only old people can beat us up or something like that. Like, that's horrible.
We were sitting in a sports bar last night, and the girl sitting in the booth behind us while we were doing trivia was like, I didn't even know Sidney Crosby still existed.
Seriously, he's like 80 or something. You know, he's no longer Sid the Kid.
Nope.
Oh, geez. Anyway. Across the forest of mics, I see Professor Dan Maggio.
Well, he's 24, but that's 80 in hockey years.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. By counting the teeth, right? Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you really from Wright-Patterson?
Yes.
We'll have to chat.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm a defense contractor doing public health and biodefense.
Okay, oh, we'll chat at the
very cool. Very,
I have
very
nothing
cool
to do with that, but I have a connection to Wright-Patterson that I'll talk to you about.
Okay.
So what's going on, Dan, the man?
Not much, but it's been a crazy week.
Yes. That sounds about right.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. So. Okay, that's cool.
And then we have championship next week, so I will be gone.
That's
next
why
week
you're practicing this afternoon.
Yep. I'm not doing anything.
Oh.
I'm supporting.
Pre NFL draft Lego championship, right?
So. Yeah. When is the Lego draft? When is the NFL draft?
The Lego. Yeah. Well, all the traffic routes are already blocked off. So.
Yeah.
So I won't be going downtown tomorrow morning. If you can even get to downtown.
Good luck. Give it a try.
Yeah.
No,
you get around downtown.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So you have to swim for that one part.
Is anybody going down for the draft?
I think Jason is.
That's cool. A lot of his students are going, I think. Yeah.
I thought about it for a split second, then sanity came back. So
I'm afraid that if I run into J.J. McCarthy, I might punch him in the face. So I'm going to skip the draft this year.
Why?
I'm not a fan, Jim. Offline. Offline. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Those, of course, are the dulcet tones of Professor James Balfour Tubbs.
Yes.
What's going on?
Does not know all of Matthew's.
I have a
concerns
lot of bottled hatred.
Oh, no.
Just kidding.
He
I'm
has
kidding
a list.
The angst.
I have a list.
It's like you don't hate anyone.
Oh, no. I mean,
just offer it up.
I just don't usually take the list out, Beth.
Oh, okay.
No,
he gives it up for
I got to say.
That's the better way to do it.
This is just the weirdest thing ever. But we were having a party at my house last year with just a handful of folks, you know, friends. And someone said, could we put the draft on? And we put the draft on. And just suddenly, the whole tenor of the party changed. People were really into the first 10 picks. What the people wear, where they're going, what the crowd chants, what they're wearing, whatever. Everyone
I
just
don't
got pulled
get it
into it. Yeah.
I just don't
it's
get
it's weird,
it
but it is a thing. I don't know what else
oh
to say.
Oh, it's a thing, all right.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing that's going to be here in about 14 days. So pretty exciting. Professor, go ahead, Jim.
It's just incredible what people will invent to be a thing.
Yes. Well, the only reason the draft exists in the way it does is so the NFL can stay in
relevant
the frontal lobe while they're not in season.
Right.
Let's be
well
serious.
I like the way they when they pick them, they go up there, they hold up their shirt, they walk around once or twice with it, and then they ask them, if there was one thing you could do for world peace, what would it be? And then, it's probably a good thing they got
the,
rid
it's
of
not
the
working
swimsuit.
The bathing suit, I was going to say the swimsuit competition was right after that.
Some of the suits that they wear are almost bathing suits.
Yep, they
if
are
you don't know what I'm talking about, check out last year's
the
pictures.
Way to end this is to stop watching it.
It is true. And that is that's not in the cards for
I'm
the
not
NFL.
I'm not
going
to start, so I don't know where to stop.
Professor Dave Chow, by any chance, have you done any like PR run-up to the draft or anything?
Not a thing.
Okay,
a thing.
I don't know whether it's good or bad.
I appreciate the financial boon.
Yeah,
downtown,
I do too.
So that's about it.
That's nice.
Okay.
You know, and I... Yeah, the thing, it's great for the first 10, but what about for the third round, or the guy that's,
Mr.
perceived
Irrelevant
to be second round, then he doesn't get drafted.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
Or, your family gets around, and they think, oh, you're going to get it, and then, oops.
There is 1 to 2 players who show up for the first round as televised, and the phone never rings for them, and the camera is in their face the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like... cringe-erific.
And then the entire family.
Ooh, yeah, that part I don't really
like too
much.
What time
does
this all start?
It's like prime time.
It's like 2 or 3 days.
Two Thursdays.
And it will go on over several days.
Yeah. It goes on for several days. So.
I mean, it's a great
marketing.
They have
lots of rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
It's genius in one sense.
And where is it being held?
Downtown.
Campus
Martius.
They've built a huge stage covering over Campus Martius.
That's right, because it's supposed to be any weather, right?
Yes.
And look at all the first-round picks over the years who have not panned out.
That's the main thing.
Especially quarterbacks.
Yes. Yeah.
And some sixth-round picks who have become
amazing.
The GOAT.
Did you hear he's actually contemplating a return?
I saw that this morning.
For Pete's sake.
Just stay.
Yeah.
We'll somebody needs him mid-season, he might step in.
No. Yeah. No.
Just don't.
Don't go away already.
Professor Beth Oljar has joined us from the Department of Philosophy, wearing a Beatles t-shirt, working on a key for her symbolic logic class.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I had it right. That's cool.
That red pen was flying.
Right. It was flying. She can do it while she's talking sometimes.
Okay. I've done these proofs before, so it's not quite as impressive as it sounds that I'm doing them while I'm sitting here.
I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback this semester in particular. You know, good science students understanding logic and saying, you know, Prof. Mayo, every science student should have to take this class. And I'm like, tell me more.
No kidding. I know I'm not getting a lot of pre-law students, but I'm getting a lot of science students and a lot of business students.
That's
so
great.
You could. I think the Supreme Court could use the.
Well, yes. I mean, pre-law students should be taking symbolic logic. It will help them with the LSAT. Yeah. It's that the only thing that's actually likely to help them with the LSAT. But I have nothing to do with the advising of pre-law students. So.
Oh my.
Anymore.
Well, folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We got a little note here from a listener, longtime listener. I was catching up on my ATPs about 4 episodes ago. You had a tidbit about how the elemental symbol for chemicals in one of the ingredients of nachos actually spells N-A-C-H-O. Mm-hmm. But that's not the origin of the name, remember? Oh. In the late 40s, the 1940s, Ignacio Anaya, Ignacio as a nickname, primarily in Mexico, is often known as Nacho. Anybody who's seen Better Call Saul knows that. Mm-hmm. Was the diminutive of his first name, was working at a restaurant in Mexico, and a group of U.S. military officers' wives, whose husbands were stationed at the nearby U.S. Army base Fort Duncan, visited the restaurant because the cook was on break. They asked for a snack. Nacho cut fresh tortillas into triangles, added shredded cheese, quickly heated them and topped them with sliced pickled jalapenos. One of the ladies said, "What is this called?" And Anaya replied, "Well, I guess we'll call them Nacho's Special." And that is the unofficial origin of
that.
That's
as good a story as any.
I've read that account before.
Yeah, I can deal with that.
There is a bronze plaque honoring Anaya in his Mexican town, and his son continues to judge the International Nacho Contest on International Nacho Day. Man,
when is International Nacho Day?
Wow. I don't know. It doesn't say. This is sent by our beloved listener and alum, Hank Durkin. And he says, "Now grab a beer."
That sounds like Hank. I wonder if they have a separate International Loaded Nachos Day.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because now you get so many other delicious things on them.
You certainly do.
True.
It's October 21st.
October 21st. That's my son's birthday. That's perfect.
You should have named him Nacho.
I should have named him Ignacio. That would have made perfect sense.
Ignacio.
Nacho.
Ignacio Mayo.
That'll be Joseph. Joseph's birthday is October 21st.
Well, you should have named him Nacho. I'm sure when you go home tonight.
Nacho Enzo and
Joseph.
He'll be like, "Yeah, Dad, that would have been a great idea."
You can just start calling him that.
There you go.
And don't tell him why. Just
that would be even more annoying.
If I bring this up in front of Leslie, Nacho. She has a very soft spot in her heart for the actor / character who played Nacho on Better Call Saul. And since he meets a horrific end, she'd be like, "Oh, Nacho."
Well, this could be the reincarnation of Nacho.
There you go. I like it.
So I love Hank for sending us these. We have 2 sets of questions. They're really, really good. He just writes, "Your old pal, Hank." That's the start of the question set. Airport questions. Here are 10 famous people who have an airport name for them. What's the city of origin for each one? Okay, here
we
go.
Well, some of the Republicans in Congress apparently want to name
Dulles.
And I think Jerry Connolly's suggestion that they should think about renaming a federal prison after him is
there. We go.
South Wonderful Florida federal prison.
He's going to be in one for sure.
Very soon. Okay. 10 famous people, airports named for them. What's the city? Lindbergh, Charles Lindbergh.
Oh, St. Louis.
St. Louis.
So that's San Diego. We are off to a restoring
We're doing great here.
Yeah, San Diego.
John Wayne.
Houston?
Texas?
Orange County.
Orange County.
Orange County.
Orange County.
That's right. Yep. Recovery, Jim. Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
St. Louis.
No, it's not St. Louis. We're probably going to keep coming back to
Palm
St. Louis.
Palm Springs.
Nope. You know, that's not what it says, but you're, you know, as I always say,
you're
in the
wheelhouse.
LAX?
Miami?
Honolulu.
Specifically, old school, like, this is my last clue, borderline Golden Hollywood turning into TV, and what's the first city you think?
Burbank.
There we go.
Wow, we were on the wrong coast.
There we go.
What a great Palm Springs, clue.
Thanks
California.
For the memories.
Florida?
How about H.W. Bush?
That's Houston.
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 Yes. Was just there a few weeks ago. Louis Armstrong Airport.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yes, that's right. Thurgood Marshall.
Maryland.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
BWI.
Yep.
Yeah.
Baltimore City. How about Charles Schulz?
Minnesota.
Minnepolis?
No.
He was from Minnesota.
St. Paul.
Yeah.
He was from Minnesota, but he lived in a different place that is where the airport is. Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Someplace in Iowa.
Chicago.
Cleveland.
Is it still Midwest?
No.
No.
Not
kind of where
shot.
I was going.
North Dakota or something?
No.
No. Cold? Warm?
Warm.
Phoenix?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a real good guess.
No, that's
really
Scott Harbor.
I don't quite know what other kind of clue I could give without pretty much giving it away.
What state?
California.
Oh, great.
Oh,
San Jose.
San
Francisco.
Sacramento?
50%. It's Santa Rosa is what actually Schulz.
Yeah, there's that bustling airport.
bonus question, by the way, from Hank. What did Schulz call his, he actually lived in Sebastopol, is right next to Santa Rosa, California. Do you know what he called his manor house and estate? It's actually kind of cute.
Snoopy.
That's a really good
Sparky
guess.
House.
Woodstock.
Yeah. Nope. He called his estate Coffee Grounds is what he called
it. Coffee Grounds.
How about Harry Reid? Harry Reid.
Nevada.
Las Vegas. Reno.
Vegas. Yeah. Vegas. Yep. We had a couple Vegas. People jump on that. Abraham Lincoln Airport. Don't think too hard.
Springfield,
Illinois. Yes. Not Springfield, USA. And a little bit closer to home, Gerald Ford.
Oh,
Grand Rapids.
Gerald Ford Airport. Those were pretty cool. These other set of questions that Hank sent are even cooler, and so we're going to do those,
no
too.
No way.
They're totally cool.
Cooler than those?
DM is, of course, our beloved university, but what are these dozen other well-known DMs? So let's slide into...
Am I on the list?
Yeah,
you
Dan
know, I
Maggio.
Didn't look forward. Could be there.
You should be.
Dan.
How famous do you have to be?
Dan, Dan the Maggio man.
Well loved, if not well known.
Oh, my God.
Lily shade of red.
Dan's
direct
red.
Message.
Just like the school colors.
You yep. brought this on yourself.
I did.
Oh, jeez.
I was going to say, let's slide into the DMs and do these DM questions here, as the young people are wont to say. A famous feisty first lady...
Dolly Madison.
Yes. Also, Raspberry Zingers. That's all I've got to say.
Our little Debbies.
Jerry Lewis's comedy
Dean
pal.
Martin.
Dean Martin.
Oh, didn't even let me
Dino.
Finish there.
Ain't that a kick in the head.
Dan Rowan's comedy pal.
Dick Martin.
Yes. Peter Cook's comedy pal and later Dudley U.S.
Moore.
Movie star. Yes, Dudley Moore. Ooh, he's actually giving me some clues here, which you're not even using, so this is sweet. A subgenre of very heavy rock and roll music.
Death metal.
Beth doesn't even hesitate. Death metal, of course. Yeah.
Death metal.
Pitching star for the 68 Tigers.
Denny McClain,
yes. It's a very interesting character. The mischievous scalawag of newspaper comics and later a TV show.
Dennis of the Menace.
Yeah.
Dennis the Menace.
Double whammy here, and so we're giving it to the man whose initials are DM. His name was Dennis Mitchell, and he also was Dennis the Menace.
That's funny.
That was the show where they recast Mr. Wilson like halfway through like the second season. It was
two totally different
Mr. Wilsons.
Yeah.
One of them looked like the guy did in the comic,
another guy
one
did
yeah. not. Yeah. Clunky shoes.
Doc Martens.
Absolutely. Super clunky and resistant to acid. Virginia rock and roller who had his own band.
Dave Matthews.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I thought he was from South Africa.
Charlottesville, Virginia,
around where I grew up.
What am I thinking of?
Heaven.
I grew up around Charlottesville.
Okay.
Did you? Where?
Stanton.
Stanton, okay.
Hmm. Mrs. Bruce Willis.
Demi Moore.
Demi. Not
ex
so much Demi. Anymore, right?
Not for quite a long time.
Yep. He's a quite loyal ex, though.
Because he's got Alzheimer's. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever told my Demi Moore story, but I have to say what Hank wrote here as well, because, did you know that Demi Moore collects dolls? She has a separate residence to house only her dolls.
That's creepy. Whoa.
It must be nice to be able to afford an extra house.
Yeah.
For that.
Wonder what temperature range she sets in that house.
Is the house furnished? Controlled. Or is it just an open space full of dolls?
It's got creepy.
Got shelves.
Temperature controlled. I don't know if I've ever told my Demi Moore story on the air, but basically for a short while, a movie starring Miley Cyrus and Demi Moore was being filmed in the chemistry building that I work in every day a few years ago. And this is when Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher were attached. So he was there, and he was not in the movie. He was just playing with their dogs. Now, Jane Schley, who's been the administrative assistant in our department for 51 and a half years... was talking to Ashton because she's a fond of dogs, and they were talking about dogs, and he asked her, what's fun to do around here? And she said, what a lot of us would say, why don't you go to a Tigers game? Okay? So Ashton went to a Tigers game that night and became fabulously drunk and said and did a whole bunch of things that he shouldn't have. Less than 3 weeks later, Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher broke up. And so to this day, I say, Jane, you broke up a celebrity couple. So there you go. There's my story.
Well, Jane. Okay.
The movie was horrible.
I remember it you
was
telling me
LOL
that.
Was the name of the movie. Look it up. It was disastrous. It had Miley Cyrus in it. What do you want? Okay. Mrs. Cliff Robertson. Oh, I knew we were going to get stumped sooner or later.
Diane?
No, Dorothy Malone?
Her father founded the E.F. Hutton Company. Her mother was Post Cereals heiress Marjorie Merriweather Post. Who built Mar-a-Lago, by the way. Did you know Mar-a-Lago was the Post mansion? One of Post's other husbands is Glenn Close's grandfather. Look at all this trivia.
Dina Merrill.
Dina Merrill was her name.
Right,
her first
Jim.
Husband was heir to the Colgate-Palmolive fortune.
Yeah, she married well.
That's so weird.
And serially.
That is really weird.
That one's so far out of my wheelhouse.
That is like a corporate merger right there.
She also, Marjorie Merriweather Post, also... had one of the largest collection of Fabergé Russian Imperial Family eggs because in the 30s she traveled a lot in the Soviet Union, and she bought those things because the Soviet government was not interested in maintaining all this stuff. So she was able to buy them for the weight of the gold in them, and they threw in the jewels for free.
Oh, life
but
is rough.
The heck?
She built quite a collection of them.
Wow. Huh. Okay.
Interesting.
Last one on the DM list. Finally, the original beef stew.
Dinty Moore.
Everybody knows the food.
Oh, that sounds good.
Everybody knew the food.
Mine's
right off
better.
The top of their head.
Those were awesome.
Those were really cool, Hank.
Thanks for sending them in. That was actually really cool. So we're going to go to our list from the Burroughs family, Frank and the family Burroughs, for a list of imponderables. And I'm trying to think which one we should choose. We have quite a number of different possibilities. But you know what? I'm going to go.
We've got a lot of ponderers here.
Yes. I'm going to go off list for this one because there's something here that's inspiring me to go to this post that blew up on social media this week.
Oh, favorite beef stews?
Dinty Moore.
Oh.
No, there was a social media post that blew up this week that was not even really a sentence. It was just a phrase. Everybody got a bleepy little movie that they love so much. And apparently it just went off the rails because everybody's got an actual bad movie that they just love very close to your heart. So I'm going to ask you what that movie is to you.
It's not really bad. Weekend at Bernie's.
Like a guilty pleasure?
I think we're going into guilty pleasure.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's.
There you go. No, I think that's great. That's great.
And I have used that title in more situations to describe a circumstance.
Gosh, that is hilarious. Come on, bad movies.
All right, okay, I got one.
It.
Xanadu.
Oh, okay.
That's horrid. That's horrid.
Hey, at least it's got a tremendous, album.
A good soundtrack.
Good soundtrack.
Last movie. Yeah. I mean,
Staying Alive.
Staying Alive.
Oh, that was good.
The sequel to to Saturday Night Fever. I like the dancing. That's
Yeah, but it's cool. It's just like what Xanadu. It's like, care less about the plot. Just give me the music.
Oh, speaking of dancing, I'll say Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
That's a great movie.
That's a good movie.
That's not a bad movie.
That's not a bad movie?
No.
Darn, I don't know.
We're not going in any order here, by the way. You can talk in whatever way you want to, you know, so...
What about Practical Magic?
Okay. No. That was a good movie. Okay.
Hold on. Can't believe he hasn't seen it since Nicole. It's one of Nicole Kidman's best performances.
Yeah, that's right.
And the book was
good.
By
definition, a great film.
Yeah, somebody likes Nicole Kidman.
We have someone at the door, but we're wrapping up here. So
well, Dune was a terrible movie.
The original Dune was not the best movie ever made.
Yeah.
Difficult to follow.
I wouldn't say it's awful.
No, but it's just difficult to follow if you read the book.
Yeah.
It says directed by Ellen Smithy, which is what that's the name they put on a movie when the director is so embarrassed by what they did they don't want to name it.
That's right.
Say Ellen
Smithy. But have you seen the remake number one?
I've seen the remake number one.
Very slow.
It was very slow.
I like the original. I mean, you got Sting is in the original.
The 2000
and Patrick Stewart.
Sci-Fi Channel 2000 is really good.
That and Children of Dune was really good.
Come on, Dan. You got to go with Golden Child or something like that?
Golden Child. Bring It On. And did everybody remember from like 80s Student Bodies?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Bring It On is also a great
movie. How about Roadhouse?
Now, that's got a cult.
Dawson's
Creek, when you asked Dawson, who wanted to be a movie director, what his best all-time bad cheesy movie was, it was Roadhouse.
You realize that Roadhouse is being made into a Netflix
series. It's already out. It's not good.
A lot of people did not like the fact that he's replacing Patrick Swayze, who is kind of missed.
And that's kind of impossible.
Yep.
Right.
Sacrilegious.
Yes. No, Swayze was great in that movie. You're nice until it's time not to be nice.
No, I have a really good awful movie. What? Actually, I have two. Hudson Hawk.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I turned that
Bruce
one.
Willis.
Strange Brew.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. That is a classic.
But they're all so awful that they're great.
Absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for that. Now, I was just going to mention, while we have waning seconds here, that in one of my favorite TV shows of all time that sort of still exists, Mystery Science Theater 3000, that the robots... fell in love with Roadhouse and wrote a Christmas carol.
Oh, good Lord.
Wrote a Christmas carol with a Roadhouse theme to it. And if you have never seen it, you should go look that up on YouTube right now. That's all I'm going to say.
So when we have
it, what a way to end the show, Matt.
Or can't.
I mean, yes.
We should all try to sing it. You should get the lyrics and we'll sing it.
I actually know every lyric of that song. But I'm afraid that the time has come to say goodbye. Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Jim.
Bye.
Dan.
Bye-bye.
Becca.
Hasta.
Jeff.
Later.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
I am not a robot.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.